Precious Communications. Please welcome on the stage with a big round of applause. Boleh tepuk tangan yang meriah, Bapak dan Ibu sekalian, untuk moderator kita. And now I'd like to introduce you to our panelists in this session. We have Bapak Satrio Wicaksono, VP Digital IT from Medco Energy International TBK. Boleh tepuk tangan yang meriah Bapak Ibu sekalian, speaker kita yang pertama. Our second speaker would be Bapak Yasriel Syaf, Vice President Information Technology, PT Penjaminan Infrastruktur Indonesia. Please welcome on the stage. For the next speaker, we have Bapak Boy Wicaksono, VP Business Development AI and Cloud from Lintas Arta.
Selamat pagi, good morning everybody. My name is Lars. I'm coming from perspective of consulting communications, having worked with many in-house and supplier teams in the data center infrastructure and communications part. So the topic we are facing this morning is actually very big, right? We're looking at hybrid IT and data centers. That's already a big topic. We're combining that with digital transformation that never ends, and to just put a little bit of a cherry on the top, we add AI and how it changes it up. But before we dive into it, two things. Number one, please, if you have questions, approach us towards the end of the session, so raise your hand and there will be people with microphones, so we are more than happy to entertain your questions. Otherwise, after the session, please grab the experts. Those are the experts, and I leave it to them to briefly introduce themselves. They all bring a lot of expertise, sector insights, and big picture with them. So let's start with you.
Satrio Wicaksono, I am coming from Medco ENP Indonesia. I am more focusing on the upstream energy sectors because Medco is actually one of the energy company, local energy company in Indonesia. So we can share some more deep experience around digital transformations, cloud adoption, as well as AI adoption in this area.
Hello everyone, thanks Lars. My name is Yasri. I'm from PT Penjaminan Infrastruktur Indonesia, or in the English term we call it IAGF. One of subsidiary of Ministry of Finance, focusing on the financing the infrastructure projects. Okay, my roles in IT department and focusing on digital transformation and also all the things related to IT operations. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Selamat pagi, everyone. Thank you for having me here, Lars. Let me introduce myself. My name is Boy Wicaksono from Lintas Arta. Lintas Arta is NVIDIA cloud provider. Here in Indonesia, we are providing GPU service among other services that we provide in terms of infrastructure, connectivity, and also cybersecurity. Right now, I am in business development department of Cloudega, and happy to be here to discuss with other panelists about the topic. Thank you.
Fantastic, thank you very much. So, as you most likely all of you know, this industry is booming. The hybrid IT market has an average compound growth rate of 35%. That's why not only this room is filled, but also the one with the vendors on the other side. So sometimes we have, and we don't have that often, that demand at points is outgrowing supply. So it's a good problem if you're on the vendor side, it's a bad because it makes it expensive. Okay. At the same time, we know that the digital economy is booming, it's growing, it's supposed to hit about 200 billion just in Indonesia this year. But I think let's then start with thinking about what is actually digital economy. Is it just the internet companies, is it just e-commerce, or is actually every company an IT company? Every business is an IT business because that's digital transformation, right? So let's jump into it from an Indonesia perspective and the national digital agenda. So in your opinion, and then I go maybe one by one, how does the Indonesian government's digital agenda, and I know there are changes of priorities, and that makes it a little bit tricky to answer properly, how does the current government's digital agenda and infrastructure development initiatives influence the adoption and implementation of hybrid IT strategies and AI within different sectors? So maybe let's start with the energy sector.
Okay, thank you very much, Lars. So when we're talking about the upstream energy sectors, you know, SKK Migas is actually one of the government body that really monitoring and maintaining the upstream business sector in Indonesia. So basically, you know, the SKK Migas is also launching what they call this actually the national, what they call it as the strategic roadmap, IOG 4.0. You know, when, you know, the target that they would like to achieve with the IOG 4.0 is actually to delivering an ambitious target, I would say it, you know, 1 billion oil per day oil, and also about 12 billion cubic feet gas by 2030. You know, 1 billion is very big one because currently we have about 500,000 barrel oil today. So I think that's a very ambitious target. Based on the strategic roadmap, you know, they already laid on about 6 strategic pillars and 4 enablers factors. And fortunately, 2 out of 4 enabler factors is talking about digitalizations and technology adoptions. So these 2 actually governing, you know, the business and energy upstream sector, you know, to really, you know, this is a requirement when we would like to achieve that ambitious target, you know. We cannot go with the traditional way of doing the business. But I think the adoption of technology is the one way that we would like to see it, how technology can help the upstream, you know, sectors, you know, to really improving the production and everything. So I think that's likely the case here, you know, where hopefully, you know, the players in the hybrid cloud AI, you know, will be interesting to really jump into the energy sector to trying to find, you know, what those area can help us in the energy sector, you know. You know, and the government itself, you know, we actually, the oil and gas company as well as the SKK Migas has been trying to really building what we call digital forum, digital hackathons, you know, building the knowledge around AI, building the knowledge around, you know, machine learning, to really find use cases in energy sector and then trying to really elevate that one and accelerate the adoption that one in the energy sector. So I would like to invite, you know, the data center providers, you know, the AI provider, let's help us, you know, to really moving that journey, you know, in the energy sector for achieving our ambitious target of 1 billion oil per day, you know, in 2030.
Thank you. So then maybe back to the national agenda. Yasriel, from your point of view, and we had a little bit of discussion before, how does the national agenda of the not so new government anymore change the adoption speed? What's accelerating? What are some of the challenges? And what should the people in the room consider while moving forward?
Okay, thanks, Lars. I think everybody knows right now Mr. Prabowo want to hold a lot of budgets in the ministries, a lot of ministries in Indonesia. But I think the infrastructure itself and also the digital infrastructure is a fundamental to build the AI and also build the digital transformation success in Indonesia. And hopefully what our presidents right now have decided, I think it's just a temporary solution for our government to reprioritizing all the sectors and all the agenda that our government want to focus in. Because we cannot hold this situation for the next 5 years. I think to achieve the President Prabowo's agenda, 8% of economic growth, the digital infrastructure, infrastructure itself, and also the AI will have to be more focused by the governments. So in the terms of infrastructure, it's fundamental, and how the private and the public sector will collaborate, I think one of our roles is to provide the financing guarantees and also the financing scenario schema to help the investors and also the projects owner to be a bankable projects. So we help to achieve that by providing the financial scheme, and also I think it will foster all the infrastructure focus and also the economic growth focus that our current government will face for the next 5 years. I think that's it.
Quick follow-up question, and I'm apologizing in advance. So with this kind of realignment, which sectors are actually under most pressure to continue growth? Which ones are benefiting in your point of view?
Yeah, I think the energy sectors and also the food sectors will be very focused by President Prabowo. So based on that, I think we will make the focus on the infrastructure that support the energy and also support the food sectors. For example, in the energy, maybe the solar panels, energy renewable projects, and also focus on the ESG projects that will give the green and also the good impact for the environment.
Thank you. Over to you, Pak Boy. From your point of view, how can we really bridge the gap between the potential of these technologies and their practical applications in Indonesia? What role, for example, do, and we touched on that earlier in our conversation, public-private partnerships play?
Okay, thank you, Lars. So in our opinion, there are some challenges, right, that business Indonesia must face when they want to adopt AI or digital transformation. The first thing probably we'll talk about, like Payasil said, about the infrastructure. Here, probably there are two parts that we can try to address. The first one is about the connectivity itself, because we know that Indonesia is very unique in terms of geographical shape. We are an archipelago country, right? So it's very quite challenging to deploy a good connectivity that enable businesses and institutions across Indonesia to adopt AI and digital transformation. And the other thing about the infrastructure is the computing power that is needed for AI, right? Like we know in the world, the superpowers of AI, they are going into the, in terms of, for example, McKinsey frame is the mover, right? The shaper of the makers of the AI. Then probably we can take position for us, at least as a mover, that we can shepherd that use the AI specifically for Indonesia use case. That will need the computing power, technology, infrastructure to support that initiative. The other thing is about the data localization and related to the regulation, right? That we need to be sovereign in our data management. Especially probably Pak Satrio can also confirm some regulated industries, oil and gas, finance and banking, for example, it is something that need to be focused on about the data sovereignty. And the last thing about the talent, all that we require to help us move with this AI and digital initiative. That is something that probably we need to work on as well as ecosystem to ensure that any initiative in the country can give benefit as expected.
Thank you. And then maybe directly following up on that, so you talked about AI computing power, you touched on that, right? So two questions for you. One thing it wouldn't make sense that every data center in a hybrid setup is just stacked with the last generation, or you can't afford it, the last generation of NVIDIA chips, for example, right? So especially with an added need for computing power, how can businesses best optimize the distribution of workloads in these different environments? And what comes after NVIDIA? But that's just your quick question on that one.
Okay, so I think first of all, we need to identify, right? Not every data should be treated equally, right? So first thing we need to do the segmentation on the workload. We can identify which data needs a high compute intensity in terms of, for example, for the model training. And the other location part, we just need less intense computing power for inference, for example. But then you need to consider also the latency you require to deliver the service in terms of inference. That's one thing that we can start with. And then we can distribute, of course, the workload based on that segmentation, on the what kind of infrastructure we want to use to address that data segmentation requirement. And then from there, I think we can start on the performance optimization for that data placement. For example, the balance between how we can leverage cloud stability with the on-prem capability that the organization has. That's the balance that we need to look at. And last thing, probably about the cost optimization. There are numerous features in the cloud that we can try to optimize the cost, as well as we need to look at our existing on-prem infrastructure, whether we need to do the rebuild for that one to adjust with the current requirement. So probably there are three things large that we need to identify.
Quick follow-up, putting you on the spot right now, is there an alternative to NVIDIA chips for supremacy in AI?
Yeah, like I mentioned briefly in the introduction that right now in Indonesia, there is already a sovereign GPU as a service provided by Lintas Arta. Right now, we are the first and right now the only one NVIDIA cloud provider in Lintas Arta. We are working together with industry player in oil and gas, in banking, financial, and also, surprisingly, government institution. So like I mentioned, just recent directive from Pak Prabowo, but we still see some priority areas in public sector leveraging our GPU computer. So yes, very exciting, and we are happy to help any organization here to move on with their, accelerate their AI and digital transformation in Indonesia.
Thank you. And then I go back to Yasriel. So we talked about the hardware infrastructure, the pipes, the buildings, the GPUs, the software, the chips. But what else can organizations do or should do to manage those large data sets? Because it's not just about putting a rack there.
Okay, Lars. I think the first one that should be settled by the organization is the data framework itself, and then focusing on the data security and then the sovereignty of the data. And for example, in Indonesia, we have to comply to PDP regulations, which I think will be more technically developed for the regulations details in the near futures, and all of the industry will have to comply to all the standards. That's one thing, I think. And the data security itself, it should use the very best practice of data encryptions and so on, related to the data security. And related to Pak Boy said that it should be located in Indonesia. But we know that for the hybrid IT itself, I think we have to combine our on-premise capability to store the sensitive data, for example, in some of the infrastructure projects that very, very rely on the edge data, for example, tolls, a lot of data happens in the edge. So we need the real-time capability to process the data at that time. So for the data sensitive data, I think we should better to store in our on-premise, but the AI processing itself, I think better if we can do a federated things in the cloud. So it's a combination to process the data, so we can get very efficient to our budget and also to our resources.
Quick follow-up question before we dive deeper into the energy sector. So some of the large infrastructure programs for connectivity, the moment you start to dig the first hole in the ground, they're already outdated. AI multiplies the data throughput needed. Is the backbone infrastructure ready actually for the exponential growth of data throughput you will have for moving AI system generated kind of data flows through? Yes.
Okay. I think in Indonesia, government already initialized the Palaparing projects backed by our company too. 8,000 more kilometers along Indonesian archipelago. I know it's not perfect yet. Still many urban areas and rural areas that are not covered by this solution. That's the fundamental things. I think to next step, we can go more leveraging the hybrid IT, because the connectivity itself is a fundamental for Indonesia.
So do we have the right connectivity to support the expected growth of AI driving data throughput? Do we have it right now? Are we safe?
Can I just
add? Yes, please.
Yeah, we fully realize that requirement large,
okay.
And we are working toward helping government on this. Yeah. In fact, for Lintas Arta, we are well known as a connectivity first company. We've been 36 years plus in operations. Now in Java Island, we have 800 gigabits per second. This is the fastest and highest, most reliable connectivity in Java. And we gradually expand to the other island also. So we foresee that this requirement for AI connectivity is there, and then we just deploy, and now we are in service. So ready to discuss with colleagues here about if they want to leverage our connectivity, especially for Java first, and later on in the other island.
Thank you. Back to Pak Satrio and Medco. So from a very concrete example and sector, how do you balance your priorities between what do we put on-prem, where do we do cloud, where do we need to worry about connectivity, and that all with a background on we're dabbling in AI, but I have an idea where we need to be in 3-5 years.
Okay, thank you very much, Nars. Just back to echoing what Boy mentioning about challenging that we are facing in the energy sector as the requirement for data residency. So it's clear enough that data cannot go outside country. Data need to go outside country, that need to be pre-approved by Minister of ESDM. So I think that's a big challenge. You know? I think, but with the existence of the hyperscaler data center in Indonesia, local data center provider already have in Indonesia, I think that's actually open up the puzzle that energy sector actually right now facing. But so I think that's actually hopefully creating a lot of opportunity for us to really take care of that one. In terms of between cloud or on-prem, I think in an upstream business, I think having a cloud option and hybrid environment is, as we consider that will be the more suitable at this time, meaning that, you know, the upstream is usually, the data is very huge, we all know. And also we have a legacy system around it, you know, we're talking about, you know, exploration applications that most likely running on-prem, you know, and the data is very huge, you know, the image, the seismic image, those kind of thing may not be, you know, suitable enough for running, you know, across, you know, on-prem or cloud. But I think having a cloud environment, I think that's enabled a lot of good things from energy sector, you know. I think the scalability and also the agility for us to support the requirement from the business, you know. Usually in upstream, you know, we actually having an infrastructure ourselves, put it in on-prem, But if there's any sudden requirements that require us to scale up in a certain period very quickly, we cannot do that one, used to be, you know. So having the cloud provider available in country, I think that's the enable us to provide more agile solution to our customer, you know, and then providing that one spinning that, you know, combining between on-prem and cloud solution, I think that will be a good bridge for us, you know, to move to that direction. I think that is just in the way we would like to balance between on-prem and cloud.
Is that changing with AI ascending? What's your AI roadmap, and do you already have concrete use cases you can share?
Okay, I think AI in here, as I said, you know, the challenge that we are facing in upstream energy sector, you know, the production level now is declining, the proven reserve is declining. So I think using technology, using the traditional way of finding the resource oil and gas, is not becoming a challenge, you know. Usually we rely on people doing it, the expert, doing the intuitions, experience, and finding the oil using their knowledge of the people. So I think we need to have a breakthrough on that one, you know. Technology will be the ones that can be solved that one. And we see the AI can play around, you know, building up about bridging that one and finding, you know, new resources or finding new frontier area, or maybe keeping the production at a certain level using the AI or machine learning technology, you know. A lot of use cases that we see it on that one, from production, from exploration, finding new resource, you know, we're talking about, you know, how we can find the geological information from a well log, for example. Well log is more, you know, it's just a drawing that does not mean anything for people that do not know, how we can map that one into an AI or ML and give more knowledge to people, the exploration or geologists, to really help them to find the spot that was really good enough, you know, for a new discovery, those kind of thing. That's like one thing from exploration. From production, you know, since the production is largely declining, keeping the production at the level at this time is also a challenging task. It's not easy. That is where, you know, we need to make sure that the direct operating efficiency for running the production should be maintained high. You know, one of the way to maintain that direct operating efficiency is to reduce the downtime, reduce the lost production opportunity, what we call it in production environment. And one way to do that one is to ensure that our critical equipment can run, you know, 100% if possible. So predictive maintenance will be a clear play on this one, you know, how AI and learning, you know, can help on that one and trying to really predict any value of critical equipment, so that, you know, if we know that a certain, you know, critical equipment will be valued in the next 2 years, then we need to prepare for something. So that is actually reducing our opportunity for lost production. So I think that's the several use cases that we see on the upstream sector.
Thank you very much. Do we have any questions from the audience? Then please raise your hand now. It's like a marriage kind of thing, or be quiet forever. Anybody has any questions? Otherwise, I have enough to ask. Don't blame me later. Over to Yasri. So, what needed the investment volumes into cloud took a decade or more to hit billions. AI just put a double turbo water-cooled engine in there, and the commitments, but also the investments needed, just went through a superstar rocket going up, right? So everybody wants, everybody needs, everybody's supposed to do AI. From an infrastructure kind of lens, how do we make sure that all these wish lists and requirements are rightfully, in a right way, planned, financed, and guaranteed? Because the bets are just getting bigger.
Okay, thanks, Lars. I think in the challenge in the infrastructure itself start from the planning side, execution side, and the monitoring sides. From the planning sides, I think we have to make the projects is bankable and interesting for the investors. So AI will be a very important component that should be added in the infrastructure proposal projects. Without the AI and also the technology, I think the project owner will have difficulties to attract the investors and also attract the bankable for the financings. So that's why in our company we have to advise, we give the advisory to all the project owners and also the lenders and also all the banks, that every project should consist of the technological side and also the including the AI analysis. So we use that approach in the planning side. In the executing phase, I think we are more focusing on to evaluating the risking and look at the risk of the projects itself based on the financial historical data. Based on the risk historical data, we use machine learning and AI. We can use that to make more better predictions related to the execution projects, including the monitoring the financing projects. And the last one, I think in the monitoring phase, it's already done and entered to the monitoring side. I think we are focusing how we can make a prediction related to the maintenance of the facilities and also make a prediction to the financial viability of the projects, whether it still follow the guideline and also follow the plan, or we should have to restructure the financial side. I think that's the case in the infrastructure projects from planning to execution.
Well, it helps when you still kind of say, hey, 35% CAGR, right? as we're coming already to the end of the session, it just flew by, maybe just starting with Boy and then we're going through, just a very quick statement in that context of hybrid cloud transformation, IT, and AI, just pick one. What kind of future outlook pieces, pick one, could be big, could be small, gets you most excited, most worried? Just one quick statement on what gets you excited, what gets you worried.
Okay, the most immediate probably that people are talking about right now is agentic AI, right? That's the kind of logical next evolution from the Gen AI that we have right now. But then I'm thinking about, you know, people experimenting with the AI piloting now, also time for organization to realize and put it in the real project instead of just piloting. Probably that's my take, Lars, on that.
Thank you, that's true. Yes,
yeah, I think the next challenge and the next trends for infrastructure, I think more focusing on edge AI, smart cities, and also predictive analytics for huge big data of historical risk and financial data, because that's three major components of smart cities. I think a lot of data happens there, so we need to be backed by connectivity and also the edge that can work together with the AI itself. And the last one, I think the predictive analytics for the financial and the risk, because infrastructure is very closely to risk and also the financial viability.
Thank you. Last but not least, Pak Satre, from your perspective, energy sector, what keeps you up at night? What are you most excited, most worried about in that kind of topic?
Okay. In energy sector, I think what keep me wake up in the night is actually, you know, with the new technology that will be coming in, and you know, and thinking about, you know, what things that technology can help, you know, energy sector to move, you know, to a certain level where traditional way of doing can be solved. I think that's the one. The only worry for us in the energy sector about the Gen AI or AI and everything is talking about where human will play after that. So there is a little worry in the energy sector, you know, if AI play a run, so then I do not have any space to work then. So I think that's like the critical factor that most likely people in oil and gas actually worry. But I think the thing that we would like to bridge that one is actually we need to really change. Human need to do something that was really human should think doing. Collaboration, adding the value, not that, but not doing the things that machine can do that one. I think that's like the bridging that I would really need to consider, you know, transforming the people from existing way of doing at this time with the future is the one that make me worry, and you know, and we need to be bridging that one in a good way to ensure that technology will not replace human at all, but how we can make you know, we call it, you know, how we can humanizing technology instead of technology actually, you know, human is human. That's exactly the volume.
Excellent. Thank you very much. As we're concluding, the last statement reminded me of my late grandfather. He was working in finance, and his biggest worry for his last few years in his career was that they would implement computers in his company before retirement. So that, I mean, it's a natural kind of scare about technology, right? And it reminds me of the early ERP systems. Humans had to adopt to the system, right? Have you ever tried old SAP systems? Versus technology should help humans, not the other way around. One thing was missing that I didn't pick up. It's apparently it's not a topic du jour. Nobody talked about quantum today. That's a different topic. See you here next time. Thank you very much, Pak Boy, Pak Yashri, Pak Satrio, and thank you everybody for your attention. And I hope you could pick a few nuggets of wisdom, insights, and where the future is heading. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Lars. Thank you. I'm taking back the session, and thank you very much, gentlemen, for.